Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Zurian Show. I hope that your day has started off well and that all is going good for you. Today is another beautiful day. Why is it another beautiful day? Because it's another day that we're alive and we're able to breathe and we're able to actually contribute and make a difference in this great world that we live in. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that each and every day we all are faced with different hardships, different problems, different things that concern us, worry us, and bother us. But I'd also like you to also understand that while you are here, you have every opportunity to fix, change, correct, and adjust all of those things that are confronting you, all of those things that are daunting over you, all of those things that are kind of driving you a little crazy. There was a book that came out about don't sweat the small stuff, and in the end, what was the end of the book say? It's all small stuff. That is actually true. However, the devil is always in the detail, isn't it? So, today we're going to talk about trying to help you to get yourself an A. And for you people that have employees or people that you work with or just your coworkers, we're also going to talk about trying to get them an A because that's what the world's about, isn't it? It's about us all trying to get an A, us all trying to get the best score that we can get in life. So today's show is going to talk about trying to help you, me, and the other people that you know to obtain that A. I have a question. Is any one person smarter than the whole? The answer, no. Everybody has their gifts. Everybody has their contributions that they can give. And everybody has their abilities, you know, the things that they can do a little bit better than other people. Some people are also very lousy at doing certain things. Not saying that they don't possess the skills to get better. It's just that it's not a natural thing for them. It's not something that, how can you say, trips their trigger. It's not something that motivates them. So they don't have that same drive or that same desire that another person may have that's really into that particular thing or really loves doing that particular task. Perfect example, if you have a person that's into IT, if you have a person that's really into IT, they love IT. It's a passion for them. You know, if you have a person that rides a motorcycle, that person loves riding motorcycles. It's a passion for them. Most of us don't really follow our passions as a career. Why? Because most of us can't find a way for our passions to actually pay us. However, we all need to realize that our passions could pay us because if we were truly passionate about it, we would do it so well and so much that people would want to pay us for it. Or in some cases, like let's say if you're a painter and you have absolutely no painting abilities, all I can say is look at some of the abstract art that's worth millions of dollars. I don't see where the millions of dollars worth of worth are, but then again, I'm not a person that's gifted with that sight. So I don't see it the way some other people see it. But those particular artists are considered artists, and they are considered to be some of the best artists that there are. Either way, whether you do abstracts or whether you do stills or lifes, everybody's got a talent. Everybody's got a gift. Now, the whole thing about getting yourself and everybody else an A, here's the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to give somebody an A, if you want to help somebody to grow, to develop, to mature, and to become the person that they want to be or to become just a better person, not only for themselves but also for those around them, then we need to stop acting like everything is a secret. We need to stop throwing things out there and then expecting people to re-engineer it or re-get it. We need to give them the test before the test. We need to give them the answers before we give them the test. When you go to school, let's say you go to college or university, however you want to call it, think about it. When you go to school, they give you the curriculum, all right? The curriculum is there to do what? Is to teach you the subject so that you understand the subject. Why are you learning the subject? You're learning the subject so that you can get an A. You're learning the subject so that when the answers are asked, you can answer them correctly. Now, please understand that let's look around and let's look through history. Some of the richest people in the world are not the most educated people in the world. Some of the most gifted people in the world are not people that necessarily did it all by themselves. Everybody had help. Everybody had assistance. But is it not easier to build a building with a building plan, or is it easier to build a building without a building plan, without the diagrams, without the schematics, without all of those different things? You would not give a person that was going to do something the order to do a particular task and not give them the plans to do it, not give them what they need to succeed. Now, we all know when we're talking about school, since that's the subject that we're talking about right now, that each person's learning style is different. And we also know that most of the learning styles that are taught to us as we grow older and as we develop, is from children all the way up to adulthood, is built on one particular model. It's built on writing and lecture and things of that nature. But we also know that we now, as time has gone on, we have different types of intelligence. We have some people that have a certain level of mechanical intelligence. We have some people that have a particular kind of, you know, visual intelligence. We have some people that are, you know, auditory, if what they hear helps them to learn. We have some people that need to touch it, feel it, and hear it. They need all of their stimuluses, you know, all of their senses to actually grasp information and to take that information and to make it their own. You, me, and every individual that you come in contact with technically is a teacher. We are technically teachers. Why? Because we are helping others to learn, be it that we're helping them with their interpersonal and social skills, or we're helping them with math, or we're helping them with science, or we're helping them to learn how to drive, or we're helping them to learn how to control their body. You know, it's the same thing with your child. When your child is growing up, nobody throws their child out on the floor and says, "Walk, dang you, walk." They don't. What do? They coach, they coax, they help to nurture that child along so that that child feels loved, or that that child feels that they can do certain things. And usually it's the children that are more nurtured and the children that are more given more guidance that actually grow up to become, you know, or actually start walking earlier, unless they're over saturated with people trying to help them do things. That's not helping them to grow. All right, it's just like, well, look at, let's say we have a child that grew up with what some people would call a silver spoon in their mouth. Okay, that child has a silver spoon in their mouth. Problem is that that child is not allowed to do any of the things they need to do. You know, I was talking with a young lady a couple of years ago, and she was explaining to me how her husband grew up in a very affluential environment. Her husband wasn't affluential, but his parents lived very well. So, you know, this was a young man that most of his life, he never made his own bed. So when he actually got married, of course, the first marriage kind of went the way of the dodo. But when he got to the second marriage, you know, because this was his second wife I was talking to, she was explaining to me how the young man didn't know how to really make a bed. You know, because all his life he had somebody taking care of that for him. Those little insignificant, you know, items were things that were taken care of by the maids or by the cleaning service or those things, because that family was able to give them stuff. You know, there was a comedian, George Lopez. George Lopez, in one of his comedies, made a parody about the fact that, you know, Spanish, older Spanish women treat their young boys like their little princes. You know, they won't let them walk, they won't do this, they won't do that, because they're their little kings. You know, and he was talking about how basically it cripples the boy's ability to interact with women, the boy's ability to take responsibility for themselves and to actually, you know, have a productive and positive life. Of course, this doesn't apply to all people of Spanish heritage. And it was pretty funny. But why was it funny? It was funny because the weird thing about humor is that it reminds us of things that we see every day. And those are the things that make us laugh. It's not that it's really a nuance. It's that we see it differently through that comedian's eyes, because he's brought it to a light that we weren't actually thinking of or perceiving initially. But anyway, companies and people, if you want your children to grow and you want them to develop, then you need to show them how to do what it is that you want them to do. And then what will happen is that from there, you're teaching them, as they say in the Bible, you're teaching them how to become fishermen. You know, you're not giving them a fish. You're teaching them how to do particular steps. You need to teach your children how to speak to different people and how to show respect. I mean, nowadays you've got a lot of kids that just can't speak to anybody. Yeah, what's up? You know, blah, 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 blah. That's not the proper way to speak or address another person, especially a person that has a particular position or is of a particular age. Those are people that you know, if you want that job, if you want to move forward, you need to give them a certain level of respect. And that respect needs to be in your tonality. It needs to be in your body posture. It doesn't mean that you need to humble yourself to these individuals, but it does mean that you need to address them in a professional manner, because that's the manner that they feel you're going to address others. You know, with a business, most businesses have SOPs, standard operation procedures. They also have policy manuals with how you'll do this and how you'll do that. You know, if you go to some call centers, they actually have scripts, you know, where you can't even deviate from what the script says when you address a customer or a client. Now, I'm not saying for anybody here to be a puppet. What I'm saying is that the more people you help, the more people you have that will eventually or maybe help you. Now, there's occasions when a lot of the people that you help will never do a darn thing for you, all right? They wouldn't open the door for you if, you know, you were carrying 100 pounds worth of groceries. However, you know that you presented yourself correctly. You know that you did the things that you needed to do to put you in a win-win situation. Each and every one of us needs to spend at least an hour to 2 hours a day reading something that's going to benefit not only us, but the other people we come in contact with. The average person, once they reach 20 years old, probably hasn't looked at a book since they left high school. The average person, once they're 30 years old, probably hasn't looked at a book in over 10 years. And I'm not talking about a book of substance, a book that's going to teach you something. You know, I mean, excuse me, that is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a book that's going to teach you something. I'm not talking about a book on vampires. I'm not talking about a book on love stories. I'm not talking about a book on your favorite football fans or whatever. And in some cases, that could be as simple as a magazine. There's magazines out there, especially for those of you that are into the entrepreneurial realm, like Success Magazine. These are magazines that help you. They tell you stories about how people did certain things. They're not telling you about how this guy got rich and he's got this big car and he's got this big house. Even these entertainment magazines. You live in an apartment with your mother. However, you're reading a magazine about somebody with Mercedes-Benzes, Rolls-Royces, Tuscarosas, and living in multi-million-dollar houses. Exactly what that's going to do and how that's going to serve you as an individual, I have no idea. And I'm sure that somehow in your mind you can rationalize that out to me. I can't get it. You know, it's just like I talked once before about entertainment. Unfortunately, most of us are entertaining ourselves to death, as Brian Tracy said. You know, we're constantly looking for entertainment, and we're blowing off education. And education isn't necessarily always in a book. Sometimes education is going with somebody that's already been there, learning what they've done and doing it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we need to help ourselves and others get an A. We need to give people a test before we test them. We need to have the meeting before the meeting. You know, I was listening to John Maxwell, and John Maxwell was giving a thing on having a proper meeting. And he said the goal to having a great meeting is to have the meeting before the meeting. So basically to set out, give out the information in basically kind of like an agenda format and say, listen, I'd like to have a meeting. This is what I'd like to have a meeting on. I'd like everybody to look at this and see what they can do to contribute or how they feel as though we can do this, this, and this. And you kind of get a consensus on what's going on. And then as the manager, supervisor, or the person that's leading the team, after you've got a general consensus, then you have a meeting based on basically a buy-in. You've already got the people's buy-in. You've already got their feedback. You don't have that resistance that you would normally get from somebody when you put them into a meeting and they don't really know what the meeting's about. And basically you're saying, okay, this is what we're having a meeting on. We need to figure this out right now. What happens? Negativity. You get pushback. Why do you get pushback? Because you've got people that are not truly prepared. You've got people that don't want to take the step forward. So if you have the meeting before the meeting, then guess what? You now have some buy-in. You now have people that at least have an idea about the topic and have done some brainstorming on it, even if that brainstorming was only, you know, 15 minutes before the next meeting about the meeting. But the point is that you're moving forward. People do not like surprises, ladies and gentlemen. The only surprises that they like are usually on their birthday or if you're going to give them $1 million. They don't like surprises as, you know, all of a sudden it's Friday and it's 3 o'clock and I get off at 4 and now you want to tell me I need to do a report or you need some information on something or you've had a document sitting on your desk for a week or 2 weeks and now you give it to the lackey, all right, to do the particular work. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not endearing yourself with anybody. I understand that this is a professional arena, but you also need to treat people professionally. The fact that you have a rank, the fact that you have title, that means nothing. Back to rank, title, and race and things of that nature. Ladies and gentlemen, it really doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what your sexual preference is. It doesn't matter who you know and how you know them. It doesn't matter how much money you make. You need to treat people correctly, and they will treat you correctly. And if they don't, then that's somebody that you need to remove from your circle. You need to remove from your circle of influence because that's somebody that is not going to serve anyone but themselves. However, if you are that person, then that's how you are being seen and perceived. Again, if you give a person the tools that they need to do what they need to do, and you actually show them how and make sure that they understand how to handle those particular tools or to use those tools to help develop themselves, that is somebody that is going to be one of your cheerleaders. That's going to be someone that sees you as one of their champions. That's going to be somebody that's going to be in your corner when nobody else is in your corner. Why? Because you stepped out of the box and you helped somebody that you really didn't need to help. You know, I run into a lot of people that just want to take credit for everything. I run into a lot of people that want to be showcased. I run into a whole lot of people that don't seem to understand that being wrong is great. Why? Because if you're wrong, then that means you get another chance to be right. I'm not saying make being wrong a profession, but what I'm saying is take that wrong and learn from it, develop from it, grow from it. Take that wrong, take that accident, and do the things that you need to do to move yourself forward. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody knows 3M. 3M was a company that was kind of on their legs. They weren't really standing up very well. They were actually about to fail. And what ended up happening? 3M tried to make a glue. The glue ended up getting on a paper. The paper ended up becoming something that we all know called sticky notes, okay, or Post-its. Post-its was an accident, ladies. A lot of the great tools that we have today, a lot of the great successes that we have today came from a mistake, came from another idea that was a botched idea and became the idea that it is now and something that became a multi-million dollar thing and employs many people and helps to feed and take care of many families. Ladies and gentlemen, Twitter. Twitter was an internal process that was supposed to be used. It was developed by one of the employees in the company, and it was supposed to be used as a way that people could message between each other. What happened? Twitter came out. Of course, I don't even think it was named Twitter then, but the particular tool came out, and it was supposed to be an internal tool, and it worked so well that the company in question ended up dropping their original plan and decided to start another company, and that company became Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, from the failures and from the wastelands of destruction come great and positive things. You could be one of the people that help somebody realize that there's greatness within them and that there's abilities that could win for everybody. If you have one star, that's all you have is one star. You have one person that gets all the accolades. You have one person that feels respected. You have one person that feels as though they're contributing or they start believing that they're the only contributor, and then what happens? More negativity grows. The goal in life is to get an A, okay? The goal in life is to be successful. The goal in life is to succeed. The goal in life is to live your dreams, whatever those dreams may be, you know, whatever those dreams may be. However, the goal in life is not necessarily to live somebody else's dream. It's to help people to get where they need to get, and in that, and in turn, you also get what you need to get, whatever that may be. I don't know what it is for anybody listening today. But what I do know is that we need to get more altruistic and try to help others and stop trying to just be individuals trying to help ourselves. We need to stop having useless and unnecessary arguments and looking for problems and looking for somebody that's slighting me or somebody that's disrespecting my authority or somebody that's, you know, trying to stab me in the back and all of that stuff. And we need to have a more open and professional and social dialogue with the people that we deal with, that we interact with, that we develop with. And we need to understand that working together, we can accomplish many things. Working apart, we can only accomplish a few things. Working as a team and helping your team to grow, what happens is that you build a stronger team. You build a clad iron group of individuals that are going to grow and develop, that are going to become more than they could have ever been alone. But you need to step outside of the box and give those people that chance. You know, I met a gentleman that worked for the federal government. He recently retired. But this gentleman did one smart, and he wasn't a stupid guy, but this gentleman did one very intelligent thing. He found two ladies that may not have been the sharpest knives, but they were ladies that were going to do their very best for him. So what this gentleman did was every time that he moved up in government, he brought these two ladies with him. And as he moved up in government, these ladies moved up. This gentleman retired, like I think a director or an AA, you know, an associate administrator or a director. He retired with a very nice paycheck. These ladies are also in the line to retire with very nice paychecks. Plus that, now this gentleman is gone and he's now working for, you know, another company, you know, no longer with the federal government. And what, of course, is he probably going to do as he grows and develops within that company? He's going to do the same thing, all right? He's going to look for these ladies, and he's going to say, hey, you know, you're getting close to retirement now. What do you want to do? What's your plans? And he's going to take that same support team that he's used for years in the federal government and bring it into the private sector. Is that not a win-win for everybody? And if they decide not to do that, has he not helped to secure these ladies' financial welfare by getting them to the higher levels? And also now, I believe both ladies are pretty much at the retirement, have enough time to retire. So these are people that, you know, have worked with the same basic team and have grown and developed, not stayed stagnant. They've grown and developed, and now they have a powerful team. Of course, they also now have a network. Why? Because other people know what these ladies have done for him. And his abilities to move up have been enhanced by these ladies' contributions. So is that not a win-win? This gentleman helped these ladies get an A. These ladies helped that gentleman get an A. All right? And the fact of their retirement is there. You know, they're they took continuing education. They didn't get wrapped up in a position. This wasn't just somebody that was taking care of them in the sense of, you know, hey, you be my GS-9 or whatever, you know, and keep working with me and, you know, I'll make sure that you can do this and that. This is somebody that brought them up with him, all right? As he went to the next level, they went to the next level and so on and so on and so on. And now they've all created a network between the three of them that is probably pretty unstoppable, even though two are still in government and one isn't. And now the one that's not in government is also reestablishing even a more powerful network, in the sense that now he's in the civilian sector and doing similar things that he was doing in the federal sector. And his federal history is what's helping him, or what helped him to get the job that he has in the civilian sector. This is a perfect example of somebody helping another person get an A and not basically telling them, here's your sword, if you fall on it, that's you. Ladies and gentlemen, we truly need to get out of that mind frame, all right? The old way of doing things and the old way of thinking no longer works. Your parents and your parents' parents and your parents' parents' way of retirement no longer exists, all right? Social Security for most of the baby boomers will not be around. Okay, most of the baby boomers will not be able to retire because job stability is not what it used to be. Today, in 2011, we are in one of the first worst financial predicaments that we've ever been in. That does not mean that there's not help. That does not mean that there's not things that you can do to curtail that. That just means is that you have to get out of the box and you have to look at other ways of doing things. One of the things that you need to do, and you need to do it yesterday, is start working with other people and helping them to grow, to develop, and to become all that they can be, while also growing yourself. By helping other people, you have to grow yourself. Why? Because you're extending yourself out. You're opening yourself up to other people, so you're opening yourself up to other responsibilities and other abilities and other things and opportunities that can be presented to you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a trick question. If you want to grow, then you have to grow. And in order to grow, you have to change. And that change needs to be positive change, and that change needs to be reinforced daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. You cannot sit on your laurels anymore. That world does not exist. You have to constantly look for different avenues and different ways to grow financially, spiritually, mentally, health-wise, all of the above. Part of that is eating the right food, getting hydrated, doing exercises, getting spiritual guidance, finding mentors that can help you, getting coaches that can help you to get through some of the difficulties of life, working out a good relationship with your loved ones. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you have everything to lose by not listening to what I'm saying. Everything. You have everything to gain by listening to what I'm saying. Take what I'm saying and take it like a grain of salt. What works for you, use it. What doesn't work for you, don't use it. And if what you do doesn't work, then maybe you should go back and apply what I'm saying to you today and see if those things work for you. You know, I say all the time, I am not the sharpest knife on the deck, but I'm telling you, I've cut a whole lot more than many people. Why? Because I try to treat people correctly, I try to treat people fairly, and I try to do what I believe is right. And if I'm wrong, at least I did it with the conviction that what I was doing was correct, to where you have some people that know it's wrong and they'll still do it. You have some people that have no morals. You have some people that are characters and have no character. Be a person of character. Be a person of substance. Understand that those that you help will learn to help others. And if we all could help just one person every day, it would be a better world. Wouldn't it be a better world for you? If the person that you were trying to get in front of in traffic today hadn't cut you off, would that have made your day a little bit better? Yes. But why did you let that person get you so upset? Why did you let it bother you so much? I can't answer that. Only you can. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I want to wish you a great and wonderful day. Understand that today is yours. Today is now. And everything that we do contributes to our tomorrow. So if you want to have a great tomorrow, have an outstanding today. If you want to have an outstanding today, then do the things that you need to do to put yourself in the position, in the mind work, in the framework. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space, there lies a choice. The choice is to choose our response. In that response lies our joy, our happiness, and our future. Think about it. Again, you got nothing but time. But however, that time is short. We all have a finite amount of time on Earth. And in the scheme of things, it's the blink of an eye. Don't blink, wake up, and realize that it's gone. Your book is not closed, it's still open. So that means you can still change your story, you can still write different lines in there, you can adjust the course. Let's all take the road less traveled. Let's all take the road where we need to be, where we want to be, and where we have to be if we want to do the things that we want to do. Because nobody's going to give it to you, and nobody's going to hand it out. And everybody's also looking for their way, except for most of them are looking the wrong way. Thank you very much, Blog Talk Radio listeners, and thank you for listening to the show. As always, please share the show with any and everybody that you think will get something from it. We truly want to give, and we truly want to be of service to you and others. We're also always open to speaking events. If you're looking for a speaker and you think that we have something of value to add, please feel free to contact us, because we'd be more than happy to come and speak and work out those arrangements. Thank you again, and have a great day. Farewell.